How's everybody doing this morning? Come on, look at your neighbor and say, glad you made it today. Tell him you are looking as good as you can look. Whatever that means. Come on, some of them look good, some of them well. Let's intercede. Look, we're on our second message of our series, Need a Fresh Start. How many of y'all feel like you need a fresh start in some area of your life? We serve the God of a fresh start, a new beginning. And it doesn't matter how far you get in your walk with the Lord. I find in my life that as I progress and God deals with things in my life, there's always a key to me changing in an area or submitting an area to my life, to my progress in God. There's always a key. There's something. And when you feel like you're getting through one thing, guess what? Something else is going to come up. God's going to put his finger on something else so that we can progress in God. Today, I want to talk about a time for a change, and I want you to turn your Bibles, if you will, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Let me say something about Boilapalooza. Come on, how many of y'all like crawfish? You know what the crawfish is? It's bait. Crawfish is bait. Of course, we eat bait in Louisiana. But we're in Mississippi, though, so hey. We do in Mississippi, too, don't we? Listen, I want you to understand that this is not just a crawfish boil. This is an opportunity for us to reach our community. And I want us to see it for what it is. I want us as a church to continue every day, if you will, to lift up this event, because we're believing God that people are going to come to this and people are going to get saved and connected to the church, and God's going to change their life. Amen? So look, don't tell them this is bait. Just invite them. Amen? And look, they need to come to church and get a wristband to eat the crawfish. So we want to get them here to the church. Amen? Not just come to the crawfish. I see him come for crawfish, say, no, you just came for the loaves and the fishes. You're not getting. Jesus told his disciples, you only come for the loaves and the fishes. They had a wrong motive. So if you will, just invite your friends, invite your families. We're going to have plenty of crawfish. Nobody can eat as much as I can as far as crawfish. Nikki's close, but I kick her tail every year. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23 and 24 says, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. How many know that we have a spirit and a soul and a body? We are a three-part being. When you get born again, you get saved. You are just as saved as you'll ever be. Once you make a decision to ask Jesus into your heart, you're saved. You're going to heaven. But how many know that sanctification, or the process of us becoming more like Jesus, is just that? It's a process. And it takes time. I love this scripture. It says, may the God of peace sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless. So God doesn't just want your spirit saved. He wants your soul and your body to be in step with your spirit. I know a lot of people who are saved but are just struggling. Struggling with issues, struggling with things because they haven't learned to submit themselves to the sanctification process. The process of getting cleaned up. So you're just as saved as you'll ever be. I just want you to know that. You're going to heaven. Once you ask Jesus into your heart, the Spirit is where the presence of God resides. When you're saved, you get saved for heaven. You get saved for heaven. You miss hell. And then God begins to dwell in your spirit. But you'll always live with the battle of the flesh and the spirit. Right, I heard Billy Graham say this one time. He said, this man had a black dog and a white dog, and they would fight every day. And the guy that owned the dogs, a person saw the dogs and said, Well, which dog wins every day? And he said, well, the one I feed the most wins. You see, what you feed is what you'll become. It's what will dominate your life. Your soul, I mean, you know, when you get saved, your soul doesn't get saved. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And if you're run by your soul, that's why you see a bunch of schizophrenic Christians. They're saved in their spirit, but they're dominated and led by their soul. And so, no telling what you're going to get. One day we'll be okay, but then the next day, we're all out of whack. Because we're being led by our soul and not our spirit. Come on, somebody don't like what I'm saying today. Look at your neighbor and say, it's the truth. Your soul is your mind and your will and emotions. This is how we think, how we feel, and the choices we make. Our spirit is made alive when we accept Jesus. But our soul, that's a whole other story. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, he said, I'm crucified with Christ. We've got to crucify the old man. The old man doesn't die when you're saved. He just takes a back seat, or should take a back seat, to the new man, right? So it's a constant battle and conflict that we have of spirit against our soul and our flesh, right? And whatever dog you feed is going to win. Here's the conflict. There's a conflict going on continually between our soul and our spirit. Because our thoughts, our feelings, and our choices are always wanting to take the lead, are always wanting to dominate. Let me ask you something. If your life is not going the way it should be, could it be that you're feeding the wrong thing? You know, here's the deal. I've learned this in my life. It doesn't matter how long you've been in church. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how much Bible you know. The question is, are you going to make a choice to be spirit-led? Are you going to be dominated by your soul man and your flesh? The Bible says that they that live by the flesh will eat the fruit thereof, and that's death when it's conceived. So this battle is going on all the time in us. I'm going to turn this up a little bit. How many of y'all are cold? I feel a little chill on my head. Stretch your hands toward my head today. So this conflict, how many of y'all understand what I'm talking about? You have this conflict going on. You know what? None of us are exempt from the conflict. The Apostle Paul, who wrote two-thirds of the Old Testament, one of the heroes of the faith, verbalized in the Word of God many times how he struggled with this. Galatians 5:17 says this, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. This is Paul talking. There's a conflict. There's a battle going on. And can I just say this about the convicting power of the Holy Spirit? As you yield to the pulling of the Holy Spirit in your heart in the choices you make, or the less you yield to it, the easier it is to do wrong. The less you yield to the Holy Spirit, the more you'll be led by the flesh and the soul man. I think a lot of times we get it backwards. We start looking at some of the things that we do as the problem. But that's not the problem. That's a byproduct of what's going on inside. Like, you know, I know Christians who struggle with smoking. They say, well, you know, I got a problem with smoking. No, you don't have a problem with smoking. You have a problem with lust. And the byproduct of a root of lust in you is that you do certain things to gratify the flesh. So this conflict, let me ask you today, what are you yielding to? What are you yielding to? Let me give you a way to evaluate how you're doing. Number one, what do you spend your time looking at? Number two, where does your money go? Man, nobody's amening me today. That's okay. Sometimes we get a word that we need to hear, not that we want to hear. So, you know, there are some ways to gauge how you're doing. The problem is we get caught up in the doing. We get caught up in things. Can I just tell you, as your pastor, no pastor likes to get the call. Pastor, I need you. And you go over there, and all of a sudden, whammo. You hear something hits you that you had no clue about, and you say, what are you, why didn't you call me? How did you get to this point in your life? What's the deal? I'm going to give us three ways that we can do to really make a change in our life, to help us make this change from being dominated by our soul man. You see, you got to shift from Jesus being a part of your life to Jesus being Lord of your life. You got to make a shift of Jesus just being an addendum to your life, just another thing that we do to the reason that we live. Because I'm going to tell you right now, the world is bombarding your soul man so that your soul man can win. And if you're not in the Word and you're not in a small group or in relationship with other believers, you are very vulnerable to be taken out. Because the conflict goes on. Each one of us deals with the same conflict. Romans 7, 18 and 19 says, "For I know the good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature." This is Paul talking. "For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do is what I do. This I keep on doing." The Apostle Paul refers to this conflict. He said it's a good fight of faith. It's a fight, no doubt, but it's a good fight. Because you're fighting. You're fighting that flesh, that desire to want to do something, what you really don't want to do. I think we've all caved into that at one point in our life, haven't we? But you don't have to live in 1 Peter, it says this, it says, "Showing yourself a pattern of good works." We may slip every now and then, but I want to ask you something. What's the pattern? You don't fall in those things unless you have done things that led up to these things. You don't fall into sin. You do things that lead up to the actual fall. So what's the pattern in your life? You know the story, you know the saying, you better check yourself before you wreck yourself. Right? Some of us are in a pattern where if we don't stop the pattern, ultimately, the Bible says when sin is conceived, it brings forth death. As I think about the many people I've ministered to and loved on and people who have shipwrecked themselves, I've learned this one thing. Doesn't matter how smart you are, how the giftings that you have, or all the things that you're good at, your character flaw will destroy you. So you got to deal with the conflict. And as we deal with that, we're in the process of becoming more like God. The easiest step in the whole world is to decide, the easiest step in the process is to be saved, right? It's a free gift. That's the truth, right? But guess what? After that, it's going to take some things. It's going to be a cost involved. I love it. Let's break down 1 Thessalonians. It says, bring that scripture back in chapter 5. It says, may the God himself, the God of peace. First of all, God himself changes us. We have a tendency to want to take control of our change. Well, I'm going to make a New Year's resolution. How did y'all's New Year's resolutions go this year, Bob? I'm going to change, right? It's not about us changing ourselves. Because I've said it this way, us changing ourselves is like someone who had a heart attack or someone dead trying to perform CPR on themselves. It's impossible for you to change yourself. But it is possible for you to yield to the Spirit of God. May God himself, it's God's job to change you. God himself sanctify you. Through and through, in every part, we can't change ourselves. God is the author and perfecter of our faith. If he began a good work, guess what? He's faithful to complete it. We just need to stay yielded to him. Secondly, he is the God of peace. Now, how do you know if you're doing well in the change process? Well, if you're doing well, you're going to be guided by the peace of God. You're not going to be anxious and worried and getting all cuckoo. Let me all get cuckoo up in here. Right? Dominated by worry and anxiety, the peace of God leads you. So God, it's God's job to change you. It's God's peace that guides you. The process doesn't have to be frustrating. Doesn't have to be anxious. Doesn't have to get crazy. Look at your neighbor and say, relax. Some of y'all can't help yourselves. I know when you're getting cuckoo by your Facebook posts. Lord have mercy. Don't put your stuff on Facebook. Keep it to yourself. Amen? God's work will flourish in us as we learn to relax and stay in a place of peace. Some of y'all didn't like what I just said, but that's all right. Relax. Chill out. Trust God. I find that when I get anxious, it's really that I lack trust. It's that I really don't believe that God is going to do what he says he's going to do. Or I don't feel like it's the right time, like God said. Some of y'all just need to learn, let's say we, not some of y'all, we need to learn the timing aspect of the will of God. That God's going to come through when it's time for him to come through. Not necessarily when you think he should. Because if he comes through when you think he should, don't you think there's a problem with that? You got yourself in trouble. Don't take the reins again. Don't take the reins again. Listen, get your accountability partner where you can just ask this question, how am I doing? Somebody who isn't afraid of you or afraid to tell you the truth. So God wants us to relax. And thirdly, God is thorough. The Bible says, may he sanctify you through and through. That means he wants to change you so that you never go back to what you were. That not only is your spirit changed, but your thinking changes, your mind changes, your life changes, and you cut the cord of what you used to be. That's called transformation. God wants to transform us. Some of us are like Stretch Armstrong. We hold the hand of the world with one hand and God with our other hand, and all we are is stretched to the max and not satisfied in any part of our life. We have to make a decision of what we're going to do. How does God make us holy and whole? There are three powerful change agents that God uses in our life, and it's God's Word, God's people, and God's voice. God's Word, God's people, and God's voice. Let's look at number one, God's Word. If I can find it, I got it here somewhere. The Bible, listen, the Bible, there's no other tool that God uses, no greater tool that God uses to change your mind than His Word. And I'm going to tell you, if you can't get your thought life right, you ain't going to get it right. It's the ultimate authority in our life. It's the greatest tool that brings change in our life. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, which is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what is God's will, what is good, His pleasing and perfect will." Number one, the first way that God's Word begins to transform us is that we offer ourselves up to Him. That word offer means that we yield our life to Him. Offer yourself as a living sacrifice. In other words, you're an open book to God and you're saying, "God, check me out." The Bible says that God's Word is a mirror. When we read the Word, we see exactly how we really are. We begin to change. I heard a pastor say this one time, that spiritual maturity always equates to spiritual freedom. As you get free in an area of your life, you mature and become more like God. And age in the kingdom of God doesn't necessarily equate to maturity. And even in life, how many know people that have grown old but haven't grown up? So God's Word, He wants to use His authority and His Word to sanctify us through and through. Just as soon as we offer ourselves up to God, things begin to make sense for us to live in a new way. Not conforming to the world. The world can only conform you. It can't transform you. The world operates through conformation. God operates through transformation. And He begins with your mind because the mind is the key to you transforming. And the Word is the key to changing your mind. I'm going to tell you right now as believers, if you don't learn to get in the Word, if we don't learn to get in the Word, we don't have hope of living this thing. We've got to shift our thinking from, "Hey, that sounds like a good idea," to a conviction. Something that we believe in so much that we practice it and can't live without it. That's conviction. Things begin to make sense when we yield to the Word of God. We start to see true change that comes as a result when our mind begins to change. Listen, you can change your life when you change your mind. Some of our minds are garbage cans. And I'm going to tell you right now, what you put into your mind is what you're going to get out of your life. When we do that, finally we come to know God and walk in God's will for our lives. Come on, we really need to think about renewing our minds. We got to get in the Word of God. God's Word transforms us. That's a change agent in our life. No greater change agent in your life than the Word of God. In counseling, one of the first things I ask people when they're dealing with issues is, how's your word life? If your word life is suffering, you're going to suffer. Because you're feeding the wrong thing. As we read and study God's word, our minds begin to be renewed. Listen, here's the key. Give us this day our daily bread. Right? What does that mean? Every day, you ought to set aside a time where you renew your mind. Every day. I love reading the Word of God. I'll read the Word of God every day. Matter of fact, I've gotten to a point where I can't function properly without reading the Word of God. It's become so much a part of me. As you yield to the Lord, we talked about yielding. What's going to happen is you're going to become a person you never thought you could be. You're going to begin to be disciplined in areas you never thought you could be disciplined in. Really, it comes down to self-discipline, but it's much more than just self-discipline. It's yielding to the Holy Spirit. And as you do that, your body begins to come in line with the Spirit of God. Your mind begins to come in line with the Spirit of God, and you begin to operate out of discipline, not because you choose to be disciplined, but because the Holy Spirit is disciplined. And you've yielded. Some of you guys, I can just tell when you're not walking that way. Because we get a little squirrely sometimes. Well, Pastor, I need to make a decision now. No, you don't. We're thinking about, we're at a crossroads in our life, and we got to, no, you don't. No, you don't. God might have you right where you are in that place just to see how you're going to respond. Doesn't mean you got to make a move. Doesn't mean you got to do something irrational that you're gonna regret later on in life. Just renew your mind. Listen, when things get hectic in your life, just stop. And press into God and the Word of God. Relax. Don't withdraw yourself from God's people. Don't withdraw yourself from the church. Don't do that. Don't isolate yourself. That's not the time for that. God illuminates His Word. Think about that, how the Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible. Yes, He inspired men to write it, but He is the author. So as you read the Word, the Holy Spirit is going to illuminate His Word to you. And it's going to renew your mind. Think about that. It's like sitting down with an author of a great book and him sharing his thoughts, like, when I wrote that, this is what I was thinking. The Holy Spirit illuminates that to you. It begins to change your mind and change how you think. So the first thing that God uses is His Word. As we read the Word every day, it cleanses us and empowers our lives. Number two, the second transforming tool that God uses is God's people. You know what? The Lone Ranger was a good series. Not who God's called you to be. Even the Lone Ranger had Tonto. Listen, never separate or isolate yourself from the body of Christ. How many of y'all, when you think about it, your walk with the Lord, there were some key people that God used in your life? I mean, people who took time to see something in me that nobody else saw, that spoke things into me that nobody else spoke, that changed who I was. God uses people. And by the way, just the older I get in the Lord, the more I see I need people who are going to speak what I need to hear, not what I want to hear. Think about all the special people that God used in my life that impacted me and changed me because their love for God. Listen, your love for God is always going to overflow into a love for people. I mean, I'm a culmination of several great men of God who just took time and saw the gift in me, spoke life into me in purpose and direction, challenged me, corrected me when I needed to be corrected. You know, you ought to embrace correction in your life. I never grew from being a pat, from having a pat on the back. I always grew when I was corrected. Wise people aren't afraid to correct. My life changed because of people that God had brought in my life. One of the most important things we can do with God's people is learn how to open up and to live transparent and to be honest with one another. When we do that, God will use that to transform our hearts. God will use that to transform us and give us a fresh start. It's so important that you be in relationship with people in this church. Pastor, don't let the devil lie to you and tell you you don't need somebody. That's a lie. Because when God created man, he said it's not good for man to be alone. We are created to be a part of something bigger than ourselves, and we need people to help us to fulfill our destiny. Are you with me? Got to learn to open up. It amazes me how we open up to people who aren't godly. We'll open up. One time a young man was in my small group and he went out one weekend with his family, came back with all these crazy ideas. I said, "Brother, what are you talking about?" He said, "Well, I so-and-so told me." I said, "What are you listening to so-and-so for? I am not opening myself up to someone whose life I don't see great things out of." You can't be open to the world and expect yourself to be successful in God's life. Now, I'm not saying being ugly to these people or not be cordial to these people or even drink coffee sometimes with these people, relate to them like Jesus did, but I'm saying when it comes to someone speaking into my life, it's going to be godly people who gets to do that. Because that's wisdom. I'm going to have people. And I am very strategic in my relationship. And I am not going to waste God's time with my life and allow people I don't respect, who have a life I don't respect, who don't live like the Word of God says we ought to live, to take time to speak into my life, because that will not transform you. That will derail you. So God's people is a tool. It keeps us safe and protects us. Proverbs 19:20 says this, "Listen to advice and accept discipline, and in the end you will be counted among the wise." In other words, before you get started, we have a tendency to say, "Well, I've already made my mind up. I'm going to go do this thing," and then we, after the fact, ask somebody, "Well, how do you think?" And they say, "Well, I don't know if that's a good idea or not," but it's too late. You see, we don't want counsel. We just want somebody's stamp of approval in our decision that we've already made. In the end, you will be counted among wise when you listen to advice and accept discipline. Proverbs 19:18 says this, "Discipline your children, for in there's hope. Do not be a willing party in their death." In other words, I have a responsibility to discipline my children so that transformation will come to their life. It's amazing how God-loving people can get ahead of themselves, make rash decisions because they've never submitted themselves to to people that they love and respect and are godly. I remember when I first started serving the Lord, I was at Reserve in South Louisiana, and I just got a wild hair like, I'm going to go to Bible school. Nothing wrong with going to Bible school, but it wasn't the right time for me. I ended up going to Bible school and did well, but at that time, I was young and said, I'm going to do this, and several men said, whoa, wait a minute, slow down a little bit. So I listened to godly counsel. God protected me. No telling what would have happened to me if I made that decision. Some of us get ahead of ourselves because of anxiety, because of pressure. Because, listen, you're going to have pressure. Just hold up. Get some godly counsel that's going to cause you to change. Be very selective in who you let speak into your life. And then number three, God's voice. God's word, God's people, God's voice. Paul. Jesus is our shepherd and we're his sheep, and he is constantly speaking to us and leading us. I love what Jesus said when Satan tempted him. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the. And that word proceed doesn't mean a one-time thing. It means that God is speaking, God was speaking, God is speaking, and he will speak. Proceeds out of the mouth of God. Proceed, it's now. Hunter used to tell me, Dad, you know, I don't hear the word, I don't hear God's voice. I said, well, it isn't because he's not talking. God wants to speak into our life. Just sometimes we get so busy. We get so stretched out. We get so out of kilter in our life that God's speaking, but we're not in line to hear it. We just don't have the radio on the right frequency. God's voice. Come on, how many of y'all hear the word of God's voice? Every word. Some of us are in a hectic place, in a downtrodden place, in a crazy place. Man, separate yourself to hear God's voice. Can I just tell you, I don't have the word of the Lord for you all. Not as for a specific word. I got a word every Sunday that God gives me. But when you need a specific word, I may not have it. So you got to get away on your own. You got to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You can't depend on your pastor for everything. The same God that speaks to me will speak to you. But you got to separate yourself. The Bible says, when he has brought out all his own, he goes out ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. If you want to know the voice of God, you got to practice the presence of God. God is speaking. He will speak specifically. I'm telling you, if you read the Word of God, I've been reading in Judges how they would go out and fight. They wouldn't go fight until the Lord told them specifically what to do. And every time they came up against a problem, they would say, Lord, should we do this? And he would say, yes or no. How about in Acts chapter 10, when God spoke to Cornelius and Peter was on the roof praying, the Bible says, and God gave him Cornelius' address. He said, I want you to go to Straight Street. Gave him his address. You didn't need, you know what? If you listen to the Word of God, you don't need GPS. The God positioning system. He said, go to Straight Street to a place to Cornelius' house, knock on his door. By the word of the Lord today, that some of y'all need a specific word. God's going to give it to you. Just stop and listen. Your word is on its way. God's voice. I just tell you that God's voice is not scary or mystical, but He speaks to your heart. I've never heard the audible voice of God, but I've heard the voice. He speaks to my heart. And I always find that when God speaks, it always involves the next step of my process. And He's dealing with the one thing. It's always the one thing. You know, me saying that, immediately some of you know what I'm talking about, because God's dealing with you about one thing today. When the rich young ruler came to Jesus, he said, "I've done all these things." He said, "Yeah, but there's one thing." Still one thing I want you to deal with. He whispers to our heart about something that we should or shouldn't do. The Holy Spirit is our guide. John 16:13 says, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of His own. He will speak only of what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. He's always leading and speaking to bring about change in your life. How do I know if it's the Lord speaking? Well, number one, He speaks and gives us instruction and direction one step at a time. I got a big picture when I first started, but ever since then, all I live by is the Word. The one Word at the right time about the one thing. Second thing you can know it's the Lord is that He never contradicts His written. Always in line with what's been written. Third thing is that He always confirms it through other witnesses. There'll always be others that say what you're hearing. You need to take note of that. And number four, it always brings spiritual maturity. It makes you more like Jesus. I've learned that ministry comes, your calling comes as you relax. You don't have to push for your gift. You don't have to push to make things happen. Just relax. Trust that God's going to give you what you need in His Word. God's going to say what you need to hear through His people. And God Himself is going to speak specifically for a fresh start. Amen. How many of y'all receive that? Come on. What is God dealing with you right now? What does God say? That's the key thing. Whatever that is, that's the next step that you need to take. Whatever it is, that's the next thing. Let's bow our head and close our eyes. Can I just tell you something? God knows where you are. God has specifically placed you where you are. And God will give you grace to move out to the next step. Amen? Some of us have gotten anxious in our heart about things, but I believe the God of peace is saying, guess what? Just relax. Have I not been faithful to bring you to where you are today? Will I not bring you where you need to be? I'm a faithful God, and I love you, and am concerned about every detail of your life. You know, maybe your next step is to begin a relationship with God. God brought you here today, and you need to make a decision to make Jesus Lord of your life. Or maybe you just need to say, you know what? I'm tired of just testing the water with my toe. It's time for me to jump all in. It's time for me to get real with my relationship with God. If that's you, just look at me, nod your head, raise your hand. Just give me a sign right now that you need to make that decision. Anybody? Amen? Anybody else? Anybody? Amen. Let's pray together. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I make a decision to make you Lord over everything. I commit to put you number one in my life. This day forward, I live as Jesus is Lord. Second thing is this. How many of y'all would say, Pastor, I know the one thing. I know it. I need prayer right now. Anybody? Come on. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. 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 Anybody else? I'm going to pray over you. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for your people. Thank you for your Holy Spirit here today. Father, I loose the grace of God for the next step. Father, I loose it. I agree. I just sense this by the Lord. God's going to do something so radically new in your life that you're not going to recognize yourself in 6 months. Hello? That's for somebody today. Lord, I thank you. You're the God of a fresh start. And no matter what, Lord, you haven't forgotten us. God bless you today as you go.
You won't relent until you have it all. My heart is yours.
I'll set you as a seal upon my heart, as a seal upon my arm. For there is love that is strong as death, jealousy demanding as the grave. Many walls.